There's not a rule that you have to use the three subs.
You don't find us competitive.
He's the best left back in Canada, without a doubt.
All right, welcome everyone to a special edition of the Third Sub, just kind of a little digital series in advance of the Canadian men's national team's matches, and we're joined by none other than an expert in all things Cayman Islands football, Seaford Russell Jr., the lead sports reporter for the Cayman Compass. Lots of, you know, good info online about the Cayman Islands men's national team. Saw a great interview he did with the president of the FA a few weeks ago and just had to have him on in advance of this match. So, Seaford, welcome to the Third Sub, and thank you very much for doing this.
Now, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be on here.
Perfect. So I guess we'll lead off with just the game versus Canada itself before maybe we go into a bit of the details and everything that happened before. But for the Cayman Islands heading into a game against Canada, what kind of expectations can you reasonably have against a bigger soccer nation, so be it, maybe not one of the giants of CONCACAF quite yet, but still a quite, you know, kind of David versus Goliath-esque matchup?
I think you said it best. I think David and Goliath is probably the best way to describe that match. Cayman is heading into this match with obviously the underdog title above their heads, and that should be no surprise to anyone. Canada has mammoth players within their team. I know one of their players play for Bayern Munich, which is a huge deal. Cayman has never faced a team, let alone a team that has a professional player of that caliber within it. So this is fresh for them. This is new for them. And our squad, the expectations put on them is really just to go out there and perform to the best of their ability, not expect that win. But if it does come, then that's historic in its own right. But the chances of that happening is really slim to none. Not to downside the team or anything, but the obvious statistics on paper speak for themselves.
I was just to kind of dovetail off that, when you spoke with the head of the FA, he was talking a lot about kind of the way the association was cycling in young players that had been at the U15, U17, U20 level, and now even if they're quite young, they're earning their stripes with the main national team. Is it fair to say that there's been kind of a bit of a rebuilding process of maybe cycling out some older players and bringing in young guys that are going to grow over the next 5-10 years with the team?
That is incredibly fair to say. I think that's exactly what's happening now within the football. The Cayman Islands Football Association, they are just grooming more players that are not going to be complacent and take football much more seriously, because we tend to see a lot here in Ireland, a lot of the football players are not that motivated, because this isn't a professional scene down here. So a lot of these players are stepping out of their jobs basically to play football at a national level. In doing so, but not so frequently. So they are really out of their comfort zone. Sometimes we have the national players play against our league teams on Ireland, which the competition is nowhere close to Canada. And I don't think that we've had a national game in probably a little over a year. I know that we were supposed to play St. Kitts and Nevis in a friendly, but I think that game got canceled. However, to the question that you asked about the young players. It is a development process that they're going through right now. And, you know, we have players on the squad like Jackson Kirkconnell, who's only like 16 years old, Justin Biles, who's also 16 years old. And, you know, get out on the pitch, these players that are so much more experienced than they are and so much more fit. You know, I saw it in the Suriname game. There was the difference, the physical difference in a lot of those players were easily recognizable. And yeah, it's a bunch of young players on the squad, but also a bit of senior players on there. But it's also important to highlight that none of our players currently play in a professional league nor a semi-professional league. So this is like as big as it gets for these players, and they're just trying to really capitalize on the spotlight.
What kind of, yeah, just riffing off of all that, I'm looking back from the 2018 World Cup qualifying cycle. It wasn't a very long one, unfortunately, for the Cayman Islands. Out in the first round with the old format, it wasn't very favorable to smaller nations. But what do you kind of make of all these format changes? You got the CONCACAF Nations League, which gave you guys a good, I think, at least, well, four competitive games and qualifiers, plus the competitive league C games. Now World Cup qualifiers, you get four games, you know, against the likes of Canada. Also, Suriname is an uprising nation. What do you make of CONCACAF's efforts to make sure more teams in CONCACAF are getting more competitive games? And do you think that will help the program in the long term?
Yeah, I think CONCACAF is doing an extremely well job. And the Nation Leagues came on, missed that by a goal differential, I believe. They played extremely well. But again, those teams that they played during that time was a little bit more suited to their level, and now they step foot into the Goliath's pen, where they are going to play teams that are just suited with top class players, and it's just one of those things where you just hope the team produces the most competitive score line possible. And then when you put them up against a team like Canada, it's like, what are we going to see with this score line? Cause it has the potential to go down as a five love, six love type of game. And if you watch the Suriname match between the Cayman Islands, you saw that Suriname really dominated in possession. It was only a few times that our team came close to scoring. I think it was probably twice, but the Surinese players, they really dominated possession, and arguably Canada is much better than Suriname. So it should be interesting to see exactly what takes place here later today.
And obviously there was some challenges getting this game against Canada off. We're a day delayed, which in a way is good because you've gotten to do this interview, but obviously it was a challenging situation. Can you kind of break down what has happened over the last 24 hours? And more than that, even just the Cayman Islands' COVID situation and trying to stay isolated as an island community, the challenges of playing these matches more generally as well.
Yeah, so I think obviously COVID has just thrown a shovel at everyone, especially in the sporting world here, and things are just barely picking back up for the sporting world. And that was evident yesterday. So Cayman had an issue where they had a private charter that was initially scheduled to land in Bradenton, but that was turned away by customs, basically telling them that this flight was not scheduled to come in and we're not going to take you. So they had to fly to Miami, where they drove to where they're going to be playing Canada. I think Canada was already there waiting for them. And then they were supposed to be tested with the required FIFA protocols that were put in place, but were unable to do that because of all the travel implications that they faced. And when they arrived to take the test, apparently all of the testing labs were closed. But quote unquote, miraculously, they were able to get those testing labs to open up and get the players tested. And I can tell you, I confirmed with the Cayman Islands Football Association president, Alfredo Whitaker, today that all the players tested negative. So that game will be on later today for sure. I thought might be some breaking news there for you guys as well.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I was going to put that out just because a few Canadian fans might be interested, but it's interesting to hear, yeah. Because certainly by no fault of Cayman Islands at all, that could have been a forfeit, no fault of theirs, like you mentioned, the travel. So how fortunate is it for them that Canada, obviously they need goal difference, they need goals for World Cup qualifying, that this game is being played. Anyways, how big is that for the Cayman Islands? Like you mentioned, they get to play top players because yeah. In another circumstances, this game could have been called off and we wouldn't even be here.
Yeah, no, it's extremely beneficial to them to be in the spotlight with Canada, to share a field with Canada is a huge milestone in itself. But to the credit of the Cayman Islands Football Association, they have been trying extremely hard to get this game through. Hang on. They've worked extremely hard. Obviously, that game was scheduled to take place here on island, but because of the COVID regulations that we have here, Canada would be unable to come here, quarantine for 14 days and then play the game. It would have been a longer postponement, if you will, if that had play out the way that it was scheduled to play out. But no, it just shows the hard work that goes into and the dedication that goes into to the local players here from the association side, trying to just get everything organized, trying to get all the players to have this opportunity to play such high caliber players, and all the hard work that went into this is now paying off. So it's good to see. Sorry, it's good to see everything playing out the way that it is.
So obviously against Canada, we might not get to see a full picture of the Cayman Islands because you'd have to imagine they're going to set up probably relatively defensively and, you know, opportunities might be limited. But especially when the Cayman Islands is playing, you know, teams where they're at more of a level pegging, what kind of style does the Cayman Islands want to play? And are there any particular players or, you know, position groups that have kind of stood out and that are exciting for the Cayman Islands coming up in the future here?
Yeah, I think you said it there. They're definitely going to be playing defense against Canada. And again, you saw that in the game with Suriname. They had a lot of their midfielders drop back to just stop the goals from coming in. We have great, great defenders on there. You know, I spoke about none of the players being in professional or semi-professional leagues, but we have a player, Joshua Frederick, who was scheduled to transfer in a semi-professional league in New Zealand, but obviously COVID was doing what COVID does and destroying opportunities like that again. But he is a defender and he's proven to be one of the squad seniors in conducting himself in the best manner that he possibly could. We have strong forwards like Jonah Ebanks, who has dominated the league, the local league here, scoring, I believe, 24 times within like 18 games or something like that, might not be big to the broader public, but on a local scale, it's something huge. It's a huge accomplishment for him. And if he could make it to the front of Canada's goal, he is more than likely to score, but that is just it. Making it there is going to be the issue, because I'm assuming that Canada has a stacked defense that will not allow any of that to happen. But you know, to the team's credit, I think that they're probably going to be their strongest in their defense, and more so because they're going to just have all their players fall back and help, and the offense is just going to be an opportunity type thing where if the opportunity presents itself, then we can run up. But I don't think that it's going to be a pressured offensive style, because I think that they will be countered in a bad way if they try to do that.
Kind of just nearing the end of this interview here, and again, we appreciate the very valuable insight that you've given us. Maybe just let's talk a bit about the domestic league, because I feel like it's something that we don't know much of, and obviously the national team pool is really based off of that. I think it's what, 23 of all 23 players play in the Cayman Islands domestic league. So kind of how is the setup, like how many, I guess maybe a bit general rundown, like how many teams there are, how many, like, is there divisions, kind of how does the setup work for the national team league, and how important has that been?
Yeah, so there's two different leagues for the men's. There's the men's Premier League, and then there's the men's Division One league. They both the Division One league consists of about 11 teams, and then the Premier League consists of 10 teams. One of the issues is that we have locally is just getting footballers to commit, and that is really based off of them wanting to be rewarded for all their hard work. These leagues down here don't pay players, so this is really volunteer work for them and passion for a lot of them, that they just want to continue to play. This is their art, this is their hobby, this is what they love to do in their spare time, and they make time for it. But I think one of the things that we are going to try and work on locally between the government and the Football Association is try to make football a main focus sport where we can have sort of a semi-professional league, so that these players can, you know, have something to really be dedicated to, so that when it's time to play teams like Canada, they are much more prepared. Because I don't think practicing, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the week is going to cut it for these players. It just has to be at a higher scale if they're going to stand any chance against teams like Suriname and Canada. But the domestic league is still growing. And I think Cayman sporting scene is growing as a whole. A very small country made up of about 63,000 plus people. And it's just a growing sport. And right now it's just running off of passion and pure heart and love for the sport. These players that are playing within the Cayman Islands national team.
I guess as a final question then, in terms of the sporting hierarchy in the Cayman Islands, is football the top, or are there other sports that take precedent? And then I guess secondarily, if the Cayman Islands was able to score a goal against Canada, how big of a deal would that be? And are lots of people going to be watching and, you know, ready to celebrate if something like that happens?
Oh, it'd be historic. That would be a win in itself. That would be a win in itself. If Cayman is able to score in Canada, that is a big deal. In fact, that would be the first time it has ever been done. They have never scored on Canada before. I think that they have only, I won't say that because I don't want to speak out of term here, but I don't think that they've played Canada very much, if not, or haven't played Canada before. But that would be a big, big accomplishment for them. Huge. It would be a win in itself. In fact, if I'm writing the story, I'll write it, I'll title it "That Came On Scores on the Goliaths Canada." But football is definitely top three sports in Cayman. I think the next one would be swimming, and probably track and field or boxing. But it's one of those sports that the government invests a lot of money in for competitions like this, where the footballers now have an opportunity to put their country on the map and put their country out there in the global scene, and have the opportunity to make history by scoring a goal on Canada. Would be historic for the country, and it would really put us in the limelight. So that's sort of why the government invests funds in associations like the Football Association, because they want to see things like that happen, and they don't mind investing in the football team for them to score a single goal in Canada.
Look, last question for me as well. Speaking of kind of like moments that would be big for the Cayman Islands, do you think it's fair for them, say in the next 10 years, a long-term goal is for them to make a Gold Cup now? Because we've seen more and more, you know, smaller teams make the Gold Cup now and even do well at the Gold Cup. You think it's realistic for the Cayman Islands to shoot towards taking that next step and making the Gold Cup within, say, the next decade?
Yeah, I think it's realistic to say. But again, it just falls back on the preparation. It's just how they do it. I think anything is possible if you do the right things in preparation to leading up to that competition. And again, you just I think it'll be crucial if we want to participate in events like that. It'll be crucial to give the boys more motivation here locally on a domestic scale. Like I said, trying to implement semi-professional leagues down here, because then it just takes their focus from a hobby standpoint to a priority standpoint. And if we can get the players in a mindset like that, I think the results will speak volume and really just the progression will just be way, way, way more than it is today, where it's just a hobby and head coach calls you up for a place on the national team, where in other countries you'll see that. I was actually using this as an example for like places like England, where you have players that play in minor divisions in the English scene, who work extremely hard to get a place on the national team, but never get a spot on the national team. And then in a place like Cayman, you just need to show up to training and you'll get to get the opportunity. And I just think that that's not necessarily the right approach, because we need quality players. And again, to the credit of the Cayman Islands Football Association, they are making major efforts in recruiting players that take this sport much more seriously. And as you heard in the interview that I did with Mr. Alfredo Whitaker, he doesn't care that they let go a lot of the older players that they had previously because they didn't take it as serious. But these players that they are recruiting today are much more engraved in trying to make history for their country and not just showing up because it's a work in progress, guys. It's a work in progress down here.
Well, I was going to say, like, even for Canada 5-10 years ago, there were jokes that, you know, guys for unattached FC would be playing for the national team. So even for a country as big as Canada, it's been a progression, and it's only really in the last couple of years that all of a sudden the country's really seen the fruits of all those things you talked about, like taking it seriously as a profession, providing more incentives for players to consider football as their passion, their, you know, their real opportunity. So I think that, you know, with the right people and the right kind of commitment, you guys can definitely get there as well. And yeah, really looking forward to the match today. Thank you so much for doing this. And before we sign off, just if people want to learn more, stay up to date on Cayman Islands football, where can people find your work?
Yeah, just go over to caymancompass.com. That's where all the latest local news is posted. All the latest local sports is posted, which is done by me here. And yeah, I mean, stay up to date with the local league as well. I mean, that has just finished, so you won't see much stories on that. But definitely going to try and branch out a couple of stories of this entire World Cup qualifier series.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, real pleasure.
Thank you, Sam.